Well, good morning, everyone. If you are waiting around for a seat, there's now lots have been opened up, so do please have a seat as we begin a new series this morning called Trusting Abraham's God. And for the next seven or eight Sundays, we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 12 to chapter 25, if you'd like to be reading ahead and keeping up with the sermons as they come. It would be helpful if you could have Genesis chapter 12 open in front of you, which is page 8 on the church Bibles. And really the question that I'd like us to think about this morning is the one there that I put at the head of your service sheets. Is God's plan of salvation going to succeed? Is God's plan of salvation going to succeed? That's the question that I'd like us to think about as we look at this chapter of Genesis. God has promised that he will save all those who put their trust, their reliance, their confidence in him. But how do we know that that is actually going to work out? How do we know that God's plan of salvation is actually going to work? How do we know that it's going to succeed and we will one day arrive in glory if we are trusting in him? Well, of course, on the face of it, there may seem to be many obstacles. Last week, we were hearing about some of the suffering that Christians around the world are facing even at the moment. And so how can we be confident in the light of that the church will survive? Here in Hong Kong, of course, it seems like many more people are maybe more interested in their work. They may be more interested in making money than they are in seeking after a relationship with God. And so how do we know that living the Christian life is actually worth it? How do we know that the Lord has his people here in Hong Kong? If you're anything like me, even in your own life, you are probably wondering. You maybe see sin, you maybe see failure, you maybe see compromise. And so how can I be sure that God will save me when I sometimes feel like I'm so half-hearted and compromised in my faith towards him? Well, all of those are really good questions, and they all take us right into the heart of this particular section, I think, of the book of Genesis. We're starting a new series, of course, in the life of Abraham. And one of the things that I hope we'll really see, particularly as we look at Genesis 12, but also as we really look at this whole section, is that God's promises are sure, God's promises are reliable, and so we can be confident in them. God's plan of salvation will succeed. Of course, in Genesis chapter 1 to 11, we really have the story of beginnings. Genesis 1 and 2 speak about creation, and really Genesis 3 to 11 is a sort of story of cycles of sin and judgment. We have the story of Adam and Eve, we've got the story of Cain and Abel, we've got the story of Noah and the flood, and we've got the story of the builders of a great tower that tried to reach up to the heavens in order, of course, they said, to make a name for themselves. And then here in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 27, we move on to a new section in the narrative. And we come here to focus on one family in particular, and one man in that family, a man by the name of Abram, or Abraham, as he will later be called. And when we meet him, he is a most unlikely candidate for God to choose. We can't stop long to look at all it says right now, but he's basically living in Ur of the Chaldees in modern-day Iraq. He's most likely a pagan, worshipping pagan gods. In fact, the names here, Sarai and Milcah, for instance, are actually pagan names. And Sarai is also unable to have children, as chapter 11, verse 30 says, something that we will see will be of huge significance for Abraham throughout the whole story. And so Abraham is really a most unlikely candidate to receive the promises of God. But yet in the midst of in the midst of the paganism that he was living in, God speaks to Abraham and calls him and makes some great and wonderful promises of salvation to him. And so Abraham is in many ways a model for us. Abraham is the model believer. He's someone who God calls, someone who has to put his trust and confidence in God's promises and truly rely on them. And therefore, here's someone who we all can learn from this morning. So then, three things about God's promises that I would like us to look at. And the first of them is that God promises to reverse the effects of the fall. So if you think about it, in Genesis 1:1, God speaks the universe into existence. And here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God speaks his people into existence. He elects one individual, Abraham, and calls him. We can see his call there in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abraham, which is in the Ur of the Chaldees, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. So the Lord calls Abraham. The Lord gives him a command. He says to him, in increasing order of intimacy, to leave his country, his people, and his father's house, and go to a new land that God would show him. Now, of course, for many of us here, this seems like not a particularly big thing. Many of us, of course, have left home. We've left our father's house, probably when we were relatively young, and we moved to some other country, in many cases, of course, here in Hong Kong, and we haven't really thought anything else of it. But it's worth noting that for Abraham, this would have been really huge, really huge. His father's house, well, that represented security, that represented wealth, that represented livelihood. And God was asking him to leave all that, to leave everything that was comfortable, everything that was normal, everything that was familiar in his life, and to put his confidence in him and go somewhere new, somewhere where he hadn't even got any clue at all where he was actually heading. It's interesting, when the great reformer John Calvin spoke on this particular passage, he said that God asked Abraham to go forwards with closed eyes. God asked Abraham to go forwards with closed eyes, trusting only in the naked word of God, he said, trusting only in the naked word of God. So there's this call. Then we also see that God gives Abraham this series of wonderful promises. So look with me at the next couple of verses. So God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. There are seven promises there in all, the number of perfection, the number of completion, and each one starts with those wonderful words, I will. God says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. God is making promises himself to Abraham. I will bless you. He's speaking into Abraham's situation to assure him of his sovereignty and of his presence and of his authority for the journey of faith which lies ahead. God had called Abraham to leave his father's house and all that was familiar, and now God promises him so much more. I will make you a blessing. And all of these promises here are really about reversing the effects of sin and the fall. They can all really be summarized in that one word, blessing. Five occasions after Abraham and after Adam and Eve, rebelled in the Garden of Eden against God, we read that the world was cursed. But now God speaks to Abraham a word of blessing. I will bless you. So God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. That must have sounded incredibly unlikely to Abraham. At the moment, Abraham is a childless and his wife is unable to conceive, but God promises that he will make him into a great multitude, a great nation of people who would know him. And he also says, I will make your name great. At the Tower of Babel, the workers had said that they were building it in their own words to make our own name great. But here the Lord says to Abraham, I will make your name great. God is the one who makes names great, not us. It's a reminder, surely, in our own culture that a great name comes not from our own works, not from our own striving, not from our own efforts, but rather from the hand of Almighty God. And then God also promises blessing. He says, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And then finally, right at the end, the climax here, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Blessing will flow from you to all the peoples, all the nations, all kinds of peoples in the world. All nations will be blessed through Abraham. This is something that, of course, was never fulfilled through ancient Israel throughout the history of the Old Testament. Yes, there were sort of hints at it, like when Jonah went to preach to the Ninevites, or maybe in some of the Psalms, Psalm 117 springs immediately into mind. But yet Israel never really lived up to its calling to bless, to be a blessing to all the nations of the world. And so this is pointing us forwards to none other than Jesus Christ himself. He's the ultimate son of Abraham. He was the one who really would bless the nations. He is the one about whom, of course, we can truly say, all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And so I really hope you can get some sense here of how amazing these promises are. God promises to reverse the effects of sin and the fall in the world. He speaks to Abraham, says that the curse of the fall will be replaced with the blessings of salvation. This is something that the Apostle Paul picked up on in the New Testament. So if you go forward to Galatians 3 and verse 8 and 9, he speaks about these great promises to Abraham like this. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles through faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. So here the Apostle Paul says that the gospel message was announced in advance to Abraham. And then he quotes Genesis 12, verse 3, which we've been looking at here. All nations will be blessed through you. He says that all those who are in Christ are blessed. So if we're Christians here, then we are sons of Abraham through faith in Christ, the one who blesses the nations. And so these really are amazing promises. As I was preparing to preach this morning, it was Friday morning. And if you've been following the news this week, you'll know that the results of the great referendum in Scotland were coming in. I was trying very hard to work and not to be constantly watching the news or on my mobile phone. And of course, those results were coming in, and particularly in the yes camp, those who were saying yes to